Hello and welcome to another Fine Mez. I'm Tom Lemon, your host for today, and I've got a full house for you this week with George and Victoria. Hello, guys.
Hi, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
How are we doing?
Quite all right.
Very well. Disappointed not to have my job title read out this week.
Oh, yeah. Actually.
European Securitization Reporter George Smith. I don't think there's going to be any fear of mention of football for at least a few weeks after Arsenal's horrid few days. So I guess that's a small mercy for Victoria in particular.
I was terrified.
I did.
I would say the only consolation is it has really come to the heavy detriment of Tottenham.
I forgot to tell you guys, but I got an interesting message this week on LinkedIn. Shall I read it to you?
Yes, please.
It was from a guy who said, "I can finally hear George!" Exclamation mark.
So well, clearly, thank you to all listeners who have sat through those 10 minutes of silence every week.
So when you were joking about like people getting like a shock as they put their earphones closer into their ear, I think you might have been right.
Well, hopefully I can live up to the weight of some insightful comments for you all.
You'll be like Brian Blessed next. Right, why don't we, for once, switch it up a bit and start with CLOs? So, Victoria, what's been going
you mean,
on?
You mean now that we can finally hear George, we're going to start with CLOs?
Yeah.
No, I'm all
that's
in for
too
that.
Much of a good thing.
CLOs has been great this week because we actually had three deals, which if, any faithful listeners will have heard me moan about not having anything to write about for the past two. We had Carlisle and partners both priced resets of CLOs from like late 2022, early 2023. And then we even had a new issue by Neuberger Berman. So I was spoiled.
And how's the situation in the Middle East with Iran and Israel, which has caused some volatility in other markets, affected CLOs this week?
Well, it was a question I've pondered thoroughly in the past few days. You're right. It did cause volatility in wider credit markets. So the crossover index, which is a credit default swap index of sort of liquid European sub-investment grade credit, it was at around 3.55 this morning, which is Friday morning, which means that it's like around 50 basis points wider than around the end of last week. So there was this sort of widening in wider markets. But on the CLOs that have priced this week, we haven't seen it sort of across the board. So Carlisle priced quite wide. But when I talked to investors, I think that's probably more due to performance of past deals, less so market volatility. Then the next day, Neuberger Berman came around with a pretty tight print. Perfectly in line with guidance. BBB is even inside Bridgepoint last week, which was previously the tightest of the year to date. So that went really well. But then on Thursday evening, we had Partners price, and the BBs and BBs did land outside their guidance and were sort of fairly wide compared with those other deals. I think that might have been a first sign sort of that feeding through.
Yeah, it seems interesting because in the US, I don't get the sense that people had spent particularly long thinking about it. Like Bank of America research for CLOs had, like, they were saying, we favor a tightening bias. And then right at the end, but the Middle East stuff. It was kind of like that, you know, whereas obviously, you know, that was released on Monday or Sunday at the start of the week. And now, as we're recording this, we're waking up to BBC News saying Israeli missile has struck Iran. It could be quite a big concern next week.
It could, although Yeah, I mean, on the European side, it's a bit similar, that I don't feel like it's the big thing on people's minds, specifically the Middle East. More like if that volatility sort of leads to a widening and wider credit market, then that affects CLOs because of the relative value.
When I
ask people, sort of CLO investors, what are you going to be looking at most in the next few weeks? Like, what do you think, what spreads will depend on? It's a little bit of this. Well, somebody actually said, well, sort of unfortunately or sadly, it's not so much specifically escalations there. The focus is still more on sort of the idiosyncratic risk of borrowers like Altice and Intrum and Ardoc being in trouble, and of course interest rate developments, and of course ultimately all this is sort of intertwined. But yeah, I think it might be significant, but more as an through indirect effects rather than each missile immediately feeling through into 5 basis points wider, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely should say we're recording on Friday morning, because by the time you listen to this, circumstances
could be totally, totally different. Yeah.
With all that said, what do we expect in CLOs for the coming weeks?
Well, so it's going to be interesting because the pipeline is quite big. I think I know of 9 deals sort of by name being marketed. Of course, there could be a few more. That would price sort of, in the next few weeks. CLO debt is still relatively wide compared to some other credit asset classes. So there is some buffer, even if there is a sort of driving wider, there was still some room for tightening perhaps. Maybe not like a strong push. But there have been other sort of small signs that at least the MES is a bit wobbly now. So there was still some pretty strong secondary trading throughout this week. But investors say there was a clear preference for shorter dated paper rather than longer dated. And of course, new issue is the longest dated out there. Then single B tranches sort of starting last week. So almost 2 weeks ago by the time you listen to this, they stayed open for longer in marketing guidance, whereas previously they would have been taking subject pretty quickly. So that might suggest that there's a bit more sort of back and forth with investors. It's going to be an interesting few weeks, and there might be a little bit of widening.
What does that mean for the equity arbitrage?
Well, nothing great, I suppose. like every widening is taking away from equity returns. But and then also once the single Bs get too wide. So I had an investor who's
sort of investing. No one will buy the equity, right?
Exactly. Like in mezz and equity, a mezz and equity investor said, well, so equity was just sort of starting to look attractive again recently, and now we have some signs of widening. That investor actually said that they thought there were pretty clear signs of widening on the single Bs. There was a bit of disagreement between investors, actually. But this one said, there are clear signs of widening, and that's a bit unfortunate because, equity just started to look attractive again. And now if suddenly your single Bs might, if they go to like 1,000 basis points again, why would you still buy equity? Partners priced at 9.85, so not miles and miles away. But also, on the other hand, I think it's important to point out that, of course, the mezz tranches are quite a small part of the capital stack. The biggest chunk is still the AAAs, and they've been holding up fairly well in the last few days. So all 3 deals that I mentioned, no matter what happened to the mezz, they're all priced within that sort of 147, 149 range where most deals have been pricing in the last few weeks, which includes deals by really strong managers at like a better time in the market. So that's been fairly resilient, and at least there's a lot of disagreement in the market on what is going to happen to AAAs. At least there still seems to be quite a bit of technical support, with Japanese investors just having started their new fiscal year. And I had one banker who said that actually he's seeing insurance companies coming back who were sort of absent from the European AAA CLO market for a bit because of sort of decent value compared to other asset classes. So I think that's going to be a fairly important factor. And I meant to ask you Tom, because the US is, if you want to know what's happening in Europe in a few weeks, might always be a good idea to have a quick look at the US. So I think you actually wrote about that with the speaker, yeah. Right? So what are you seeing there?
So we've got Golden Tree marketing a CLO through Bank of America. And the market's been sort of stuck at 150 or sort of 150 to 155 for the tier ones on the AAAs. And Golden Tree are going at 148. So naturally, are they going to take the market with them? And there's some reasons to think they might. I think a lot of people feel that the market really should be tighter. It's still relatively cheap compared to the rest of the securitized market in the US. Floating rate is going to become more valuable now that we think there's probably only going to be one rate cut in the US. Certainly Bank of America's research believes that. So they've cut their forecast from three rate cuts to just one. And as a result, floating rate paper is going to be more valuable right now. And then on top of that, I mean, there's a lot of deals. There really is a lot of deals, and but everyone's got a lot of recycled cash. So it's not like, they're really having to pick. I think you can make the argument that there's a lot of activity and it should be getting tighter, and that, there's a lot of money sloshing around.
So what's the reason then that it might not get tighter?
So Golden Tree's reputation, they're sort of top 30 manager, but their reputation is that they go, it's almost like their USP, that they go for the tightest print possible. Mm. The other thing is that a manager told me that they have standardized documentation. So there's no, like, if you do deals with Golden Tree regularly, there's no negotiation there, and there's nothing egregious in there either. So you know what you're going to get. You don't have to read like a 200-page report with a fine-tooth comb and all the rest of it. You just know that it's done and it's fine. And so if they want to, and if the price for that is one or two basis points, I think if you're an investor and you're really busy and you've got lots of cash to put to work, you probably just do that. But again, that means that it's more idiosyncratic to Golden Tree, not necessarily a case of the market coming with it. And then the other thing is there's just loads of deals. Refis and resets are suddenly, this year, it's the first time they've been like viable for over 12 months. So there's so much to choose from. Why would any investor go lower? So lots of uncertainty.
So what do you think is going to happen then?
I think there's just so many deals that, like, so many refis and resets are still in the money right now at 150 that it's hard to see how the market could go down to 145, which would then, that could potentially unleash like, it's something like over 200 billion of CLOs like have been priced in the 140 to 150 range. But you've already got so much going on. I don't think there's enough people willing to go to take
that. Would everyone just come if that was like two basis points better then?
I think a lot of refis and resets would become viable. If you got into that low 140s area, then yeah. But there's so many deals. There's already about 9 billion of repricings expected in April. I think there'll be more. We've probably already had another 5, 10 billion as well. Like, it's hard to see how suddenly deals stop and then there's a bit of a demand for, there's like more of a value on it. But yeah.
It's always good to have your three deals put into perspective.
I'm very happy with my three deals. Don't take away from that.
Yeah, but I guess we'll have to see. And obviously now with the Middle East stuff, the Iran-Israel stuff is going to be... It would be really interesting to see how much it more is on the minds of the US market.
Yeah.
Because, it's quite strange from a... as a European, to see how things really struggle to like get into the US thought process, if you like.
Especially since the US is such a massive factor in the whole conflict.
But it's like they're all sort of immune to it. And so like, whereas like Europe will be, you know, they're our neighbors, they're not far away. It would be really interesting to see, like, okay, if this is on their minds, then it's like, this is a big deal all of a sudden for the market. Well, thank you for that. And for my little plug of my story as well. So Victoria's story is called Euro CLO Mez Wobbles as Volatility Tests Spread Resilience. And my story is called Golden Tree to Drive US CLOs Below 150. But can the pack follow? Right. We've had to wait for the man with the mic. George.
I enjoyed George's marvelous microphone.
Whoever
wrote that, that was a good one.
You've written about CMBS this week. You don't normally do that. So what's happened? Something bad?
Yeah, in this case. This is an interesting situation that's been developing for a while concerning the first ever green CMBS in Europe, River Green Finance 2020. And Moody's has just downgraded it for the second time, including downgrading the seniors, the full capital stack. The loan underlying the deal, I think the deal legal final maturity is in at least 3 years, but the loan underlying the deal matured and went into special servicing in January. And then in April, they agreed a standstill till April, and then they've just extended that until July, at which point Moody's have stepped in to downgrade the deal, which they'd previously downgraded in July last year as well, I think. Maybe it was summer last year anyway, 2023.
So why has it gone wrong, George? Give us the juice.
Yeah, so probably the biggest reason is that Atos is their headquarters, the office. There's a single office underlying the deal. It's on the kind of outskirts of Paris. And Atos is 83% or 84% of the rent. So when they're having their own debt restructured, it's not looking great for the office, which is the headquarters.
Ouch.
I guess the problem is they're still paying rent on the office, and with the tenant in place, the LTV is only about 65%, according to Moody's estimate. With the vacant possession, it would be over 80%. So if they can keep the tenant in place and kind of just kick the can down the road a bit and see what happens when the debt's been restructured, if they stay in the office, then it's all right. Like, the deal is basically okay, I think. But in vacant possession terms, like, you know, obviously there's less demand for office, as anyone will tell you, since COVID. Also, less demand for kind of non-prime locations, like this one's, you know, on the edge of Paris. You know, we've seen all this story about Canary Wharf, and kind of which is the latest of our contacts that are moving back next door to us. I think it does have some, the green element is definitely working in its favor, but yeah, for now we just have to wait and see what happens with the restructuring of Atos, and also with the whether they stay in the office.
But wasn't the second half of last year quite positive with those three deals? So what happened since?
Yeah, I mean, there definitely was a bit of happiness in CMBS that the market had been reopened with the three deals, from first one from Blackstone, the second one from Blackstone, and the last one from someone else who I can't remember. So let's just say we delete that bit. But there was always this kind of wall of refinancings, loan maturities coming up. And there's more to come this year. So we will see whether, I mean, one investor definitely said he thought some kind of loose covenants and things were coming home to roost for CNBS. So I think there's two issues. One is the kind of new issue pipeline, which it's difficult to do deals, but you can do them if you are using kind of logistics assets, probably kind of towards the safe haven, generous structuring for investors. And then there is the kind of plight of the existing deals, some of which are like this one, backed by a single office. You know, you don't have any sort of granularity there to protect you. You're not getting the kind of diversification benefits that you would imagine a typical securitization would bring you.
No, it's interesting that you mentioned covenants there, because that is also talked about quite a lot, sort of on the leveraged loan side, especially in the Altice case. So nothing super intelligent to say, just interesting that it's...
I do think the investors probably have at least as much crossover, like as at least as likely you're a CLO and CMBS investor as it is that you're a ABS and RMBS investor.
Yeah. That's interesting. And what about the rest of the market? ABS, RMBS, primary. It's been busy.
Yeah, I was hoping I could talk about it for the whole podcast, because there's a lot that's been happening, and it hasn't all priced yet, unfortunately. I think there were meant to be four deals pricing this week, and at least when I checked my emails before we started recording, I think they were all still to price. Some of them had been targeting yesterday as well, Thursday.
What's driving that?
Yeah, I guess there's probably a component of oversupply. Perhaps there's some kind of nerves. I mean, definitely the coverage levels haven't been as strong as deals last week, but we don't really know yet, because we've got like first book updates, so it's hard to really read anything in from the Middle East into demand yet.
Right, okay. But is it on their minds? Is that coming up as a topic of conversation?
I mean, you know, I think it's definitely, there's a concern about it, but maybe there's still the sense that kind of European consumers ought to be, particularly on the kind of RMBS deals, reasonably insulated, unless there's a considerable escalation.
It is giving me early 2022 vibes. That sort of
ahead,
you know,
of
you
the
feel like
invasion,
people are sort of like not really on their minds, and then it is a little bit, and then whoa, hold on, what's going on here? But I guess we'll see.
I feel like
next week's podcast could have a very, very different tone. You know, that's what I suppose.
I mean, let's hope that next week we're just saying like, oh yeah, it all resolved itself. Everything is fine. Let's think about interest rates again.
I've already got a decent pipeline for next week as well. So, and it's also the start of the kind of, they take a bit longer to structure, but the cash SRT deals, the full tranche bank deals, and they're obviously, they are more exposed to risk because that's what they're selling in part, risk. Yeah. So it's not good timing for that.
Yes. Well, thank you for the CMBS story. That's called First Green CMBS in Europe Downgraded as CRE Woes Pile Up. Have we got any plans next week? Anything nice?
I'm in London. I've just booked my trains.
Oh, you're in London. Nice. Yes, we might have lunch, won't we? Yes, that'd be nice. Three of us all together.
United. We should do the podcast in one room.
United will actually be one of the ABS issues in the market this week, as it happens. United.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening and have a great week. But for now, it's goodbye from us.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.